weird. And so I just started looking for noir-themed images, you know, to see what might fit with what had been written. And there was that, you know, this mm-hmm. beautiful dame blowing smoke in the guy's face. And I thought, oh, sad if that don't beat all. So it didn't really have a, you know, it wasn't intended to have some kind of tongue-in-cheek or wry spiritual theme, right? It was just this weird mood that had a kind of a...
A little bit of a romp
where you could... she's like, he's like in her, you know, he's in the Divine Mother's face and saying, you know, before you rip me to shreds, one last question, right? Are you real or are you just blowing smoke in my face? Mm-hmm. And she blows smoke in his face. You know? I'm like, oh, I'm in deep now. Yeah, that's right.
Always entertaining when I'm at work and need a break.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God bless him. This is all right.
Well, you're always at Long Fats. Mm-hmm. You see, because you're dreaming and the dreaming is so compelling and you're so comfortable and so fond of and so habituated and acquiesced to the dreaming that presuming that the dreaming is reflecting reality is not even given a second thought. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's how the Divine Mother blows smoke in your face. It's just dreams. And here it is. It just dreams like this. In the entirety dreams as your present experience. And all of these associations are made, you know, about how you're doing or where you're doing or what's going to happen later or, you know, if you can't wait to get there or you dread getting there or, you know, the push-pull with psychological time and the push-pull with appointments and events and things to do and not do and, you know, the overwhelm that one can feel, the paralysis one can feel from all of the consequences that are stitched together in the dreaming as if any of them are real whatsoever. And you think that, and you think you're of a durable nature so that, you know, you're going to live another moment, right? Another 5 moments. You're convinced that you're, you know, you're living now and you're going to live in the future. And so all the appointments that you have that are either exciting you or that you're dreading, you presume you're going to keep, right? And that's just part of the dreaming because you can quote whatever it means, die at any moment from either accident, you know, or the widowmaker, you know, 98% occlusion in the left, you know, ventricle. And then this dreaming would, for all, let's call it imaginary purposes, cease. Or it would shift into a much more, you know, smoky, subtle way that is not recorded through the vitality of, you know, a biologic form. Mm-hmm. That smokiness is, you could say, still there, right? The smokiness of dreaming. But now you can't associate the dreaming with your body or your mind or things to do unless you end up in, you know, kind of a ghost, right, situation where you're kind of trying to inhabit the physical world as a disembodied, you know, persona. And there's plenty of evidence that, you know, this occurs. You know, all over the place, mm-hmm. you know, welcome presences of, you know, deceased family members or whatever, and really sometimes unwelcoming presences that, you know, don't want you around. Yeah, so this is just...
The presumption, it's so much more than a presumption.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not just... The presumption sounds to me like, oh, you considered it and you, or not, but you presume it seems mild in comparison to what it actually is. It's totally gripping. You don't even give it a second thought that this dream that you have, this non-continuous, blurry dream that just, you know, asserts itself
mm-hmm.
is real.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no question of that, that it's absolutely real.
Well, if real suggests something is occurring, that it is real. That there's, you know, this smoky weirdness occurring soliciting you.
Yeah, yeah.
Expressing as, you know,
but
sensorium.
Typically, the dream itself is what is absolutely real.
Yeah, but aren't there times when you've said, this just can't be real? I mean, there's lots of times that I doubt that it's real.
I'm just
but you just can't believe what's going on.
Right. No, I'm just noting that it just feels, I mean, it feels beyond real. It feels like the only real there is. There's not even a question. Mm-hmm. And until there is, you know, until you step back.
I just am starting to see it all, and I'm sure other people have said this a million times, but the whole, it's like a game, you know, this, that life is a game, that we're just involved in so many different games. Especially at work, it's almost on a bizarre level at work.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, dear God, I don't really know if I want to play this game right now. Can I not play this game? Somebody, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know what you're trying to make me do to play this game, but just, you know, I don't want to play that game. But I just see that. You know, the game of life, I just look at it as a series of different kinds of games that are going on.
It's a lot better than taking it seriously.
What's that?
It's a lot better than taking it seriously.
Yeah.
It counts on you to believe it.
The game counts on you to take it seriously.
This anthropomorphizes and rallies to an animated level with such a force of nature that even as we feel things a little more subtly, the reflex to convert this into a human framework, right? A behavioral human framework is still very, very strong. So games, and of course games are played, is an observation of, you know, human behavioral systems that are less than authentic, less than satisfactory, arbitrary, manipulative, right? Mm-hmm. And so the feeling of you, the human game atmosphere is still very human, right? Yeah. And what would it feel like as presenting to itself as your experience, and there was absolutely no association with it from the familiar filter of human interface. So even what we call human or inhabit as, you know, Homo sapien, well hung, unhung, however hung. Is arbitrary, you see?
Hung versus unhung is arbitrary?
Yeah, well. So you, what would it look like or feel like, more importantly? Sorry, God. It's too late now.
Yeah.
Let's start over. Let me reboot.
Get out of the gutter.
Let me reboot. We'll just start over.
Don't use the words hung or unhung.
Yeah, it's my fault.
Related to how might it look and how might it feel.
An arbitrary.
Yeah, we're done. We're cooked.
Too much chocolate.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Accompanying the dreaming is attentivity to, right, the proliferation of association. Right. You're aware, let's say, of firsthand texture experience, and you're aware of the feeling of conjuring in situ, in your so-called mind, right? In the privacy of your disembodied experience. And you also possess the miraculous capacity to assign meaning, veracity, predictability, and reliability to the dreaming, which makes it appear as if you are, the world is, experiences of a durable nature, a continuous and durable nature. That's why we have appointments that we either are longing to keep or dreading to keep or completely neutral about. Right? And this suggests a psychological time.
We have a lot of co-conspirators, it seems like. We're always seeking co-conspirators, you know. We'll play the game, you know, to convince ourselves of whatever reality we're constantly creating. Yeah.
We do seek and impose and receive, typically with agreeability or care, the myth of the other. Yeah. Right? And we're happy for the company of other animus. And if somehow we are separated from the company of other animus, we'll create a Wilson.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Yep.
Such is the, you know, power of association as animus. That if we're on a desert island, right, we will create a friend, maybe the whole, you know, community of friends and line them up, you know, fruits and sticks and twigs and carcasses and, you know. And why not?
First, I was thinking of Wilson the neighbor that you only saw the top of his face. And I realized
or Dennis the Menace's Mr. Wilson.
Yeah. That's true.
Let's not leave him out. Now, the moment we, you could say, start seeking for a different quality of experience, right? We've already created, let's say, imaginary hurdles. In other words, you take your awareness on the road to have a improved spiritual experience. So you want to make sure that, you know, you've had your kale juice and your vitamins and you've done your, you know, morning sun salutations, you know, one or two will do. And that, you know, on Tuesdays or Thursdays or whatever, you know, you go to the bowling league or you go to the Buddhist place, you know, you do your stuff. And so we create a persona that's got its Tony Robbins shit together, its act together. It's committed. It's clear. It's, you know, there's a routine in place. That routine is beneficial for us psychologically and psychiatrically and physically and spiritually. So we've really wrapped ourselves up in beautiful, you know, Egyptian cotton before we get shoved into the sepulcher of self. And all of these associations are fantasy in one way of thinking or speaking, but also just deliciously so. You are deliciously so. Even as a dumb fuck, you know, fantasy drunk seeker, you're still deliciously so. So it's not like insisting on a certain quality of clarity as contrasted with the quality of, you know, misanthropic misunderstanding. Because again, you're creating a, right? One creates a myth of dichotomy, a myth of comparison, which happens to be about the optimal quality of my present experience. That's not freedom. Because you're still engaged with the myth of your experience as if you are an individuated persona and you're on a path for optimization. And even within the typical monitoring of our day and experience, that's what we're doing. We're optimizing, right, our experience somehow. Wanting to make sure that we're wringing, you know, all of the orange juice out of this rind, which dried out a long time ago. You see? So, therefore, when we approach spiritual and, you know, me generation or self-help remedies, right, we approach them from the point of view of the acquisition, of improving my joy meter, right? Joymeter?
Joyometer.
Okay. And we're neurotic in that quality of self-assessing, having a better idea that this could be different than what it is right now, and then applying myself to actualizing how I should step up to the plate for improved, right, experience. We don't leave ourselves entirely alone, right? So we take ourselves on the road. Mm-hmm. We either dream with no consciousness that we're dreaming, or we dream with some measure of consciousness that we're dreaming, and we continue to interfere with our experience as an agent. Right? And that's what's driving us crazy, is that we can't just leave this alone.
We attempt to interfere, I think is a better way to put it. We think that we are making it happen or avoiding things or whatever. And
yes.
We're just given descriptions kind of after the fact.
Yeah. Yeah, when you look truly at the geometry of thinking and association, or what might be called will or free will or free choice, you know, you hear a bunch of pundits out there that talk about free will and choice and, you know, your mind is absolutely free and you're in control of it and what it thinks or how you pay attention to it and or what you do about it, you know. So you have these kinds of psychonauts that like to emphasize nonsense like choice and free will, and then have you exercise it for your betterment, right? Mm-hmm. So that you're not pained by this distractible thinking.
But on a simple note, like I had a choice to come here or not come here, and I chose to come here.
Yeah, well, that's not really what happened.
So what happened?
I don't know. All that happened is this. Nothing happened other than this. And right here, you know, you can either be present as a choice maker, right? Which is dreaming, as far as I'm concerned. Or you might play around with being present absolutely unfettered by the clusterfuck of choosing. Nothing happened to you before this moment. No choice. You never made a choice prior to this moment. And you're in no condition or position to make a choice now. And if you think that you are capable of making choice, then you're going to be accompanied by, the neurotic after math of whether you made the right or wrong choice. Mm-hmm. So you're crediting yourself with being somehow responsible for where and how you find yourself presently. But you're not. You're not responsible for where and how you find your present experience. You made no choice for this to be so.
Could you say that the choice is so automatic that you can't even claim it as your own? I mean, it's like, it's really no choice. It's inevitable, you know. I mean, I'll look into something, what have you, and I go down a certain path. Seems to be a choice, but it was inevitable, you know.
Well, you say it's inevitable by looking back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is maybe convenient, maybe inconvenient. So this present moment here, is this inevitable?
Well, it has nothing to do with it, I guess.
Okay. So then maybe that's an interesting observation, that this moment here, the one where you actually say live, not the ones of fantasy, but here, is this inevitable? You say, well,
in the realm of fantasy, I would say, yeah, of course, but yeah.
It doesn't compute, you see? So all placement of space, time, and causality and choice are just, right? They only appear in fantasy. Right? They only appear after the fact, whatever the fact is, and we don't even know what the fact is. But all of that stuff appears as a bookmark or as a sticky note in fantasy. Because this, whatever this is right here, right now, as if there were a here now or even a this, has nothing to do with inevitable. It's not the consequence of anything. And so there's no individuated agency sitting in the so-called room that you could say chose to be here. That's how free you are. Some people might not liken to that as freedom. You know, might be a little uncomfortable. Because the notion of separative existence, choice, manifest destiny, you know, inevitability, space-time, right, is so compelling that you don't know who you'd be, what this would be without it. And you've never really given it a very careful consideration. So the first salvo might be, you know, an unfriendly, unwelcome recoil. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, this kind of conversation, which calls those associations into question, right, is, you could say, it's a way of like chilling out to get out from underneath the recoil. Really, for just for fun, obviously not profit, just for fun, give your attention to your own magical nature. So you actually get used to this in a non-threatening way.
Just to get curious of what this would be without the interpretation, without the I chose to be here in this way. Or without that.
Yeah, and here you are.
What the hell is
You
it?
Don't have to pretend, you know, that you're going to experience it someday. Here you are.
I wonder if it helps when you, God always, not always, but a lot of the times I've felt that decisions about my life were made. By whatever, but you know.
Sure.
That, you know, it's not the way the world likes you to be.
Oh, thanks for your generous contribution, Beth.
Yeah. 40 crowns.
Yes. Yeah, you look back and you can see, you can get a glimpse that, you know, you were not the chooser or the decider.
Do you think that helps?
Helps what?
Helps in your ability to let go as a decision maker. Or,
well,
to get to a state where you...
Careful. Yeah, it's absolutely helpful and not at all. Why? Because there's not a place that you're at presently, mm-hmm. nor therefore a place to get to. Mm-hmm. So what could possibly help? What are they?
Dark chocolate.
You see what happens, like, in order to have a place and a place and a get to, and things to either be helpmates or hindrances between those two, mm-hmm. you have to imagine that this is something.
Okay.
That you're in a place now, and it's like, when you were drinking and boozing and, you know, picking people up at various bars along Route 66, you know, you were at 2. You were a 10, but you were behaving, you know, in a 2 level, right? And so, you know, now you've matured a certain degree. So now you're now on your, you know, you're still a 10, but you're like at a 6 maturity level. You know, let's say enlightenment is, right, 11, right? Like at that movie where their amplifiers went up to 11, right? Spinal Tap. But our amplifiers go up to 11, right? Yeah. And so it's interesting that we can, like, look back, you know, over the highway, right, Route 66, looking all the way back, and we can trace ourselves, or at least we think we can trace ourselves. We still imagine that we're in a place or in a condition, and that, you know, Ramana Maharshi was in a better place or a better condition, right? And like, well, I want to be at Ramana Maharshi's level. And you're like, why? You know what I mean?
Yeah. What I was talking about, too, you're talking about, you know, imagining the, you know, the letting go of the animus and the feeling that you're not in control and you're not making the decisions. I think if you're the kind of person that
right.
has to have everything, you know, lined up, spelled out, every decision made, you've got 6 months ahead planned.
Yeah.
That kind of person
yeah.
is going to be a little bit more difficult for them to have the imagination.
Well, maybe, but, you know, are you really concerned about such an imaginary person? Who do you know that you're referring to? Yourself or someone else that you've run into? Or someone in a movie you once saw?
Type A.
Right?
The typical type A's.
Yeah. Well, there's just you. There's only you. You are the sovereign. Your sovereignty. Just you.
Mm-hmm.
So if it appears in your imagination that you're in a place, there's some other place that might appear if I apply myself to, you know, certain life puzzles, right? Spiritual puzzles. Then you could see that, you know, the dreaming still has its, right, predominant influence on you. Yeah. Right. So cracking the cosmic egg is not a how-to. It can't be a how-to. Because there's no other place than here. There's no other condition than this one.
No better game in town than the fantasy show.
There's no, there is no better game in town than your present experience. Yeah, that's right.
Not only no better, but no other.
No better and no other.
This is it.
Yeah. So what we're looking at is how this miracle of your sovereign experience can convince itself of being in a condition or of a certain nature or as the consequence of one or a million events. Right? So your presence is irrefutable. Huh, I am. I am that I am. We can go there. You know, I am that I am. And that's it. This be Toys R Us. You see? Are you in a condition now? Are you in a place? Are you the consequence of anything? Are you of a certain caliber of spiritual understanding? And there's mo beta spiritual understanding in your future as a result of playing skillfully with a bunch of, you know, curious puzzles? See? If you don't subscribe to anything right now, if you just leave it alone, leave yourself alone. I mean, we know that you're mysterious, creative, acausal, sovereign, the entire universe. You are the dreaming nature of the Divine Mother, hands down, right now. But just leave it alone. You see? And what's the nature of your, call it texture or feeling, the nature of your awareness when you just leave it alone? It's interesting. It's not nothing. It doesn't have a story to tell, though a million stories appear in it with no effort. So you are the miracle in which storytelling occurs. You can chill as the miracle, which is exactly what this is. Or you can party with stories. You can forget that you are the miracle in which stories occur. And you can jump into your own science fiction noir instantaneously and imagine yourself to be the consequence of things and therefore have a whole bunch of appointments to keep happily or unhappily or neutrally. See? So all of the dreaming, all of the associations that place you as a creature in space-time are imagined. That's not to say they're bad or good. It's just that you are so magical that you can actually see this. You're so good at being you that you can actually see dreaming arising in you. By being able to see dreaming arising in you, it becomes curiously more clear to you that, oh, I'm not the dreaming that's arising in me. I'm the sovereignty, the ineffability in which that dreaming occurs.
You kind of are naturally that artist in the flow. It's like,
and I'll stop.
What you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that that dreaming is going to stop at all. I mean, it'll continue on.
Why not? Yeah.
There may be no discernible, observable difference. Who knows? But
no. Wouldn't it be fun to truly be a secret Sufi? You know what I mean? Why run around like, you know, Ramana Maharshi staring lovingly at everyone or living in a cave to draw a bunch of attention to yourself and then spend the rest of your life petting peacocks? Wouldn't it be just as much fun to be completely unnoticed?
Yeah. I have a feeling there's a lot of those.
Well, you could say the entire humanity is like that. Yeah. Everyone's a secret Sufi. Yeah. Completely unnoticed. Yeah. Completely unnoticed.
Fine.
Yeah. Whatever it is or was that Ramana Maharshi attained to, or Gautama Buddha, or any of your favorite, you know, characters from 1,000 religions, what did they find? This. Mm. and maybe they, you know, were privy to magical powers, right? Gift of radiant healing, right? Raising the dead, walking on water, water to wine. Yeah, sure. You know, all kinds of magical powers and demonstrations of kundalini and chi and cosmic energy and all that stuff. And you're like, oh, I want my fair share of that. And, you know, maybe that's in your so-called future. If you had one, maybe it's not.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Now, if it's probably not, does that mean that, you know, you've come up short? Right? Right? Most of the devotees, whatever it is that we're devoted to, we live a life of secondhand mediocrity because we've all come up short.
Yeah.
You see? I mean, like, you know, Jesus had it going on. Jesus had it going on. How, I mean, there's no way I'm going to even, I mean, even thinking that I could attempt to emulate, you know, the Christ consciousness would be such hubris, I won't even, you know. But still, you're that. Still.
Well, don't people wear all those bracelets? What would Jeff do?
It's a whole website.
I want one.
It's so absurd. Yeah. Liberation is not a thing. It's not an attainment.
Yeah.
It's not even very useful. It's contrived.
Psychosis.
Yeah, liberated from what? Where exactly? As the result of working spiritual puzzles or doing miraculous yogic feats or purifying one's nature, withholding one's carnal instincts, not touching money, going around with a begging ball, sitting on a meditation cushion. What? Going, walking into Redner's and picking up, some caramel corn and a six pack of Coke is a problem?
Yes.
Yes.
Wrong example. Shit. You know, tuna fish and some liver bites. A can of tuna, some liver bites, and saltines.
Ooh.
Back to the kale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So, with the most easeful of attention given to the, call it texture or presence of your present experience, you're done. You're baked.
Mm.
That was easy. Right? That was easy.
Mm.
Get used to feeling yourself completely relieved from psychic pressure, from the pressure of becoming, pressure of explaining, the pressure of appointments.
It sounds, it feels almost like it's, you're being a traitor to, you know, the usual patterns of worry and fret and, oh my God, if I don't, you know, hold on to those, I'll just, it feels like heresy.
Yes.
Just set it down.
To what we refer to as, ego mind, type A, B, C, D personality. Right? Absolute freedom is a heresy.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Absolutely it is. Yeah.
But it's not something we can decide on anyway. I mean, really. I mean...
Hang on. It's not necessary to decide or not decide. You're present now. This is already in your face. It's not waiting around for you to decide or not decide. There's no point in identifying yourself as an agent with or without decision-making powers. How about fuck you?
Or take the leap. You know, I mean,
no leap necessary. Leap from where to where? You see? Any qualification that you create is heresy. It's imaginary. There's no leap. You're not presently in a condition, ending up in some other condition, and then coming up with why it's possible or impossible to move from one condition to another condition. You see? It's made up.
I can be in a condition.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I do have a condition.
You can fabricate a condition.
I can. I guess if memory is a fabrication, yes.
Okay. You can fabricate having been in a condition, imagining that you're in
memory
a condition now.
A certain kind of fabrication.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a little more specific. That the condition existed and damn seems to be immovable.
Okay.
Now there's that will thing that seems to come that pops up in the rational mind.
Yeah.
You know, you can overcome this condition.
Well, you have to see it here, right? You can't report on yourself any other moment than now. Because once you do that, you're you know, living fancifully, and you're welcome to it, of course, in an anecdotal frequency. And if you're living in an anecdotal frequency, then I could argue, and I don't mean this in an insulting way, you're not really being true to yourself. You're indulging in fantasy. And you're welcome to do it. I mean, we all do. There's no crime. But what if you don't? Right? What if you don't? What if you don't place yourself in some abstract condition or refer to other people, whether it's difficult or easy for them to accomplish a thing? Right? That's just, what is that? You see? Here, this presence is loud enough, pretty loud, loud enough. And if you're not conjuring, right, some anecdotal or a hypothetical abstraction, hysterically or otherwise, then you're not in a condition. If you want to go to memory and recall all the conditions you've been in, right?
You've got all this gray matter just for that purpose.
I had to see what condition my condition was in. Right? Yeah. But this is how, you know, Jagadamba blows smoke in your face. Because you can miraculously conjure and accuse yourself of, or others of being in a condition. Now you have to figure out how to get out of that condition or make it a better condition. You see? Whoop, you're in. Mm-hmm. You bought the farm. You bought the farm. And that's just habit. You're not condemned to it. You're not sentenced to it forever. It's just, it's habit of reflecting upon present experience through the imagination of hypotheticals or anecdotals or accusations of some kind, qualities of some kind, space-time justifications. I chose. See? So you're delightfully, magically imposing upon yourself or your actual experience some kind of fantasy. Or you can be just as you are. No effort, no tension, no self-improvement, no anticipation, really. This is here, done. This is it. But what is it? Well, it's not a destination. You've not accomplished anything. You don't have to even feel differently about yourself or anybody else. You don't have to buy someone a Christmas turkey tomorrow morning and whip your heels up. You can just be the totally secret Sufi. It's like, oh, wow. I had no idea. Without even having to have any fireworks or any demonstration at all. You can really leave this alone. Right? You know, if you're a seeker fucker chomping at the bit for enlightenment, you want symptoms. Don't you? You want symptoms.
Practices. And
yeah, right?
To do.
You want things to be happening in your experience.
Peace of mind.
Right? Okay. Even if it's something as, you know, undemanding as peace of mind. Yeah, right? Yeah. But you don't need any symptoms for awake to be so. You don't have to have a, you know, incredible recall of, you know, past lives going back 100-fold. Or be able to do anything. You can be the same old.
There's no enlightenment test?
No. You know, when you listen to Samuel Bonder and his, you know, bizarre wife on one of these, you know, interview things, they're going on and on about how the two of them act as litmus paper for the enlightenment of their so-called students. And I was like, I had to get to the toilet, you know, in time.
You actually say that?
Oh, yeah. I'm not kidding.
You actually call themselves?
For one low,
well, you
low
can,
price.
It's not exactly that. You can okay. tell.
They use the rhythms.
No.
Just
yeah. You see, and so again, you know, you look at this unconscionable heresy that enlightenment is a thing, that one occupies it, you know, as if a special room in the mansion, and then can evaluate, right, the accomplishments of others to see just how far along they've gone based on their, you know, behavior, how they answer some questions. You're like, hello? I mean, all of that is occurring in absolute fantasy. You see, it's trivial. The feeling of you is unabashedly present. Can you, for fun, feel the feeling of you without accusation, without a claim? Of course you can. You are fascinating, truly, and you are fascinated, truly. You could say that a moment's peace, reflection, is that you are fascinated with the fact that you are fascinating.
Well, I can't figure out if I am a noun or a verb.
Yeah, right.
Identity crisis.
I mean, truly.
Yeah. Yeah, good question.
I'm a what? You are what?
Dave's not here, so I just wanted to fill in.
Before you take any prisoners, most frequently of yourself, before you make yourself a prisoner of yourself, you are a dreamy fascination. So the yoga then is to have a conscious contact with dreamy fascination. And hang with it and see if it doesn't present you with something that holds your attention. And we do flip back into thinking and association and, you know, that stuff. I mean, that easily and that quickly, and that's not really a problem. But you can feel how you feel when you make no claim. And you can feel how you feel when you're claiming. That's it. If I can be so bold, you could say that's the window into liberation. Because you can feel how you feel when you make no claim. Mm-hmm. And you can feel how you feel when you are telling stories.
It's the feeling of letting go is the... I mean, the way I describe it.
Okay. But it's not like you had anything to let go of, nor any agency to be the letter goer. Mm-hmm. You see?
But, you know, you did say you come back to the thinking. You know, you hang with an awareness of claiming and not claiming.
Yes.
So I've noticed that, you know, the more that you kind of ponder awakeness,
yes,
it filters more into the thinking part where you're more conscious that you're doing it.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
You know, without trying to arrive at a place,
right?
You wind up arriving at a different place in your thinking. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's, or that's just what I've noticed recently, where it's like, okay, I see where this is going because I'm either trying to force it or direct it or whatever. And if I
yes. Yep.
Let go of it and just let wherever it's going happen, I'm awake to what's happening.
Okay.
So.
Yes.
It's just, it does bleed into that thinking part that we do.
Yes. Yep.
In my world.
Yes, but even the reporting upon it, you can see, is like arbitrary. And we get what you're saying, of course, but it's like, yeah, so. You know what I mean? So, what? Right? If I still take my life as a thinker sufficiently seriously enough, then I can say, oh, yeah, well, you know, not thinking or being at peace or awake, whatever, starts bleeding into, you know, my so-called ordinary life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you're like, well, which is your real life? Which is your ordinary life? What's bleeding into what exactly?
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so there's a movement of measure, of self-assessment, by virtue of this magical power of contrast in memory, right? Mm-hmm. Contrast in memory. That can say with all due confidence and charm, oh yeah, as I'm playing around with this shit, I see that it starts leaking or bleeding into my fantasy life and I become, I don't know, more joyful, more relaxed, more wakeful, more something or less something, right? And you're like, oh, okay, all right. But it's not really necessary to report on yourself ever again. That's how free you are. That's how free this is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So in order to report on oneself, I have to charmingly subscribe to myself as a, you know, corporeal experiencer, having a certain quality of experience and noticing other elements appear in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you create, you know, a kind of a lovely Maslow pyramid.
A hierarchy.
You create a hierarchy of needs instantaneously out of pure fantasy and try to figure out where exactly you are on the pyramid. Right? Which is great. We all do it.
I've actually done that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Many times.
And concomitantly with, you know, that way of looking at ourselves, of speaking about ourselves with others, it's like, beep, beep. That's the sound that the EKG makes when you flatlined.
That's what I was
Boop. Then they put the sheet over your head. Boop.
Yeah,
I thought it was
when time stops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We love, look how enamored we are of, you know, telling stories about ourselves and placing ourselves in space-time as an experiencer. Mm-hmm. Right? We anthropomorphize like crazy. I mean, we're just good at it. None of it's true.
But it's a good story.
Yes. I mean, it sometimes brings us together in a smoky bar.
Mm-hmm. Gives us something to talk about.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know. What's really going on is we find each other pheromonally irresistible, and the story is just kind of a, you know, social nicety.
It's an excuse.
Really, I find you pheromonally irresistible. What? Besides being beautiful, I find you pheromonally irresistible. Well, that's the first time someone said that to me.
Bad
pickup.
Just going to say.
Exactly.
The aroma could be the perfect pickup line. You know, right. I've been waiting for you.
You're what?
You actually lose those pheromones, too.
Estee Lauder can help. Something made out of rabbit urine, I'm sure it'll do the trick.
No.
You know, looking at the nature of becoming, you know, can be kind of devastating and a lot of fun. Liberation sneaks up on you from behind, which is the spontaneous cessation of becoming.
Spontaneous?
Yeah. Spontaneous and, you could say, cultivated. Your present experience is what? It's got to be, it's spontaneous. Present experience is always, right? Absolutely brand new, has never occurred before, is never going to occur again, doesn't have any duration. So you are, I mean, rock solid blissed out in causeless spontaneity, nonstop. And this causeless spontaneity has this curious capacity to dream and set up Zoo Tycoon, right? You've seen Zoo Tycoon, the computer game?
Zoo Tycoon.
Yeah, you create zoos.
Is it like a sim type of thing?
Yeah, it's a sim. You create zoos and animals and structures and, you know, the... Of course, you know, the refreshment stands. And that's what mind does. You are Zoo Tycoon. You're creating a zoo. You're populating it instantaneously with the pure, profound Shakti power of imagination. But there's no zoo there. There's no, you don't have a staff. Yeah. So you see, again, we're playing around with the contrast of make no claim, take no prisoners, or becoming an instantaneous, right, powerfully mandating zoo tycoon. Yeah.
I mean, this is some kind of a serious brain switcheroo, you know.
Yeah, you could say it as a kind of a switcheroo.
I mean, it's like the context is the, I mean, everything kind of reverses in a sense.
Yes, yes, everything reverses.
What you may have considered before, maybe you're just considering...
Twilight Zone.
You're just entertaining the whole idea of your life as, you know, an interesting...
Yes.
...series of...
That's right. You've built a huge zoo over the course of your life. And what happens to all of your experiences and all of your sentimentality and all of your loyalties and all of your loves and all of your regrets, you know, as the last breath leaves your carcass? And you're forced to see, depending on how much morphine you're under, the frivolity of your imagination over the entire course of your life,
yeah.
like a good puff of salvia divinorum can do. It'll just fucking erase you.
Without future.
Yeah, that's right. It'll just fucking erase you with no apology and no warning.
No remembers at all.
Yeah, right. And that's, right, I mean, that's a very startling encounter to see that the familiarity of you as a corporeally manifest creature is smoke, pure smoke. You know, maybe you want to stand tall like Wayne Dyer, Carolyn Meese, or some kind of celebrity. You want to stand tall in life. You want to have worked it out. You don't want to be a failure. You want to use your will and your mind and your resources and your conniving creative mentality to get out there and make shit happen. Help other people. Like Tony Robbins, sell everyone a solution to a problem they don't actually have. Right. Sell everyone the technology how they can be winning. And win all the way. Yeah. See? That craving that we have to, you know, win out, right? Is very seductive.
Yeah.
As opposed to losing.
Yeah.
If you're not a winner, you're a loser.
Yep.
I think the abject failure is a much stronger invitation to look at the reality of what is it here than the winning.
Yep.
And I predict... Actually, never mind.
So you have a prediction? We want to hear it. We didn't know that you were Nostradamus.
No. Ixnay on the...
Ixnay on the prediction A. Ixnay on the prediction A, yeah. Rediction pray. Ixnay on the rediction pray.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? Jesus. I made that shit up.
Begin. It is just a noticing. That's all. Just a noticing.
Yeah, you can't say what it is because you're transcendent.
It's not a practice. It's not a doing. It's not anything other than just...
The recognition of you appearing in you is absolutely transcendent and unbound. You can't call it anything. Because it's not a consequence.
Unqualifiable.
No. And wouldn't it be a lot of fun if that observation, that first-hand encounter, doesn't actually have to have any beneficent influence on the imagination of your life at all. You know? Wow. You don't have to become special. You don't have to become sacred. You don't have to become nice. You don't have to become compassionate. You don't have to have any more or less confidence than you've got right now about anything. You don't give a shit. You know? You're not beleaguered by the self-condemnation of qualifying yourself. Because every time we qualify ourselves, it is a surreptitious self-condemnation.
Yeah.
It is.
In most paths, you have to earn it in one way or another. Which is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to have any more joy. You don't have to have anything.
Yeah.
Your life doesn't have to be punctuated by things that someone else might find enviable. Wouldn't that be interesting? No one notices you. If anyone says anything about you, they say, ah, that Terry, she doesn't walk or talk. Then you know you're on the right track. Hey, no one likes you, and they just discard you. And you're like, sweet.
Actually, go for that.
Yeah.
That whole disappearing
act. Yeah.
Absolutely discarded. Oh, that asshole?
Invisible.
Ah, he doesn't walk his talk. Like, thank you.
Spared.
I mean, you kind of have to get used to yourself being absolutely useless. What are you going to do with your...
I had mastered that.
Yeah, really. There's more to go in your case.
A more to go. Yes.
That's good because I get more useless all the time.
Yeah, really. I like this path. Everything's going my way.
Oh, my God.
Useless.
Inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, what can I say? It's worthwhile just for fun to place a certain friendly demand upon your present experience so that nobody, including yourself, is blowing smoke up your ass. That this is something, or that it's about something, or that this being about something includes being about you. It doesn't. But that's the miracle. There's no point in inspiring anyone to do anything or become something in their future because you don't have one. There's this, just as it is. If you go in search of it, right, trying to figure out, is it the best it can be? You're doomed. Because if you're looking to see if this is the best it can be, what filter are you looking through? What lens are you looking through for this to be the best it can be? See, so is the moment you're looking at this for it to be the best that it can be, you've already got a filter, right? You're plugged in. You're a filter looking at this through a certain filter. Well, how could this be the best that it could be? Well, it's in a thousand ways, it's not the best it could be because I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and you're that and you're this, right? And it just floods in. It just floods in. This entire, kind of parting of the Red Sea floods in like an instantaneous hysteria. So the art of it then is to play around with the possibility of absolutely leaving it alone. Being completely engaged, remarkably engaged, attentive, intimate, available, interested, you know, you're just in the perfume of yourself, but you just leave it completely alone. Woo, 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 woo. And you are, you could say you are always absolutely remarkably engaged with yourself, the perfume of yourself, but living through the filtration of, you know, fantasy, right? Mm-hmm. Of time-space animus, which is fantasy. I don't want fantasy to go away. I mean, you make a really nice cookie in fantasy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to go cookie-less here. That would be silly.
Yeah, I know that my daughter, speaking of, you know, the fantasy that we're all in, when they start asking for advice, you know, it's more like, I don't know, I'm just making this stuff up as I go along, too.
I'd really like to help.
You got to believe something to give people earnest advice.
I don't think I have the answer for you anymore.
Yeah.
We're all just making it up
as
we go along.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a little bit freeing.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the present moment or whatever.
You can become the enjoyer of pure improvisation,
mm-hmm.
over which you have no control. Now, is that the message you hear from The Secret? Or, you know, The Law of Attraction?
That's all about,
or all of those fuckers?
Control.
See? No, it's all about placing yourself in the scene, at the scene of the crime, to exercise winning control. But you're not going to be happy there, because that's a myth. Where you're happy is the revelation of absolute improvisation over which you have no control. None.
That's the freedom.
That's the freedom. Yep. Yep. And that's a different twist than, you know, doing whatever they do in Silva Mind Control and getting a car spot, parking spot. Right? Yeah. You know, you do a certain, you know, you do a thing and you get a parking spot.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
I'd rather just gun it.
I forget what it was. I read that like 20 years ago. Maybe.
I know. I was there. I paid. I took it.
I have to tell you, if you want to just peruse the most insane fucking group of people for fun, go on consciousingles.com and sign up for a free account. Oh my God. I'm a Palladian from the third star.
Oh my goodness. Nice.
I mean, you can cruise the whole country of just the most insane. It's insane. It's really, talk about the qualifiers and checkboxes. My God, I know very few.
Consciousingles.com,
and you can just put in a free account, make up whatever you want, username. I mean, it's a great way to just mess with people, really. But I just like going on and cruising on the insane. I mean, it's pretty insane.
Mm.
It's really, there's not, it's not many people on there. Just,
I was going to say, are they mostly women?
No, but it's all that, you know, it's like I'm very invested in my spirituality, and this is very important to me, and I can obtain parking spots, and I'm from the third star, and I'm a soul, and
I'm, I don't have to worry about that again.
Yeah, because that's a pain in the ass.
You can go on there and just say, can you manifest parking spots? We're doing that. 100%.
That's right.
Dear Pleiadian Joe, good luck getting me to sleep with you.
It's just so whack. I mean, it's really, there's a really lot of stuff diluted and
diluted.
It's all absorbed.
Sounds like Washington, D.C.
Insane.
That's a whole other category.
Yeah. To be completely nourished, sated from this moment, as this moment, and enjoy the view of improvisational, fractal presentation with no control. Some sweet shit. And subtler still, you know, you could say there's a certain kind of bliss being the observer or the enjoyer of this improvisational wonderland. And subtler still, you are that. You're not even the enjoyer, right? Because even bliss requires a certain kind of suggestion of dichotomy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're so overwhelmed with the view that there's bliss. What if you can play around with being completely underwhelmed by the view? This is you.
Huh.
This is what this is. This is what you are. You see, like, there's nothing left in there to suggest a reference, right? To place yourself in any position.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just this. Perfect identity is no identity. There's no reference point. No quality to have, no quality to be without. As wild as all proliferation is, in your nature, there's no proliferation. Everything is happening, as far as the eye can see, macroscopically, microscopically, telescopically, dot, 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 right? Everything is happening. And yet, nothing is happening. There's no otherness. And this is a different vocabulary, yeah? The way we're playing around with these associations. It's a very different vocabulary than trying to suck your fair share of bliss out of, right, the chaos of experience.
Doesn't work.
I know.
Comes back to bite your ass.
It's great. Actually. It's great that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
We might spend decades of our lives being really pissed off that it doesn't work, right? Take, drugs and all kinds of interventions and hoping that we can make it work. Listen to Abraham Hicks or, you know, whomever and exercise magical powers to try to make it work better, right? For me, bend a spoon, go to Sedona, swim with dolphins, hug a tree at Mount Shasta, photograph orbs, You know what I mean?
Grass.
Yeah. I know. You can have all kinds of, call it extraterrestrial fun, right here in Conscious Singles. Thank you, Conscious Singles. Please call this number. My name is Jeff. I'm pheromonally available. All right. So when we look at the, you know, the clever maneuverings of conventional human thinking or conventional New Age thinking, you got two of the same shoe?
Size two.
Just size two. Are they half off when they're that small?
Yeah, they should be.
Oh my gosh, a single side I had to check under 5 feet tall.
You're going to have a lot of midgets hunting you down.
Oh my gosh, can I explain? It's like a royal city.
I'm a fourth grade.
I'm like 4'11".
Dear Arcturian Francine.